This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Shock announcement. Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Puffy, a.k.a. Love. Sean Combs now set to leave prison even sooner. His release date moved up yet again. You know what? There just ain't no justice. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. You heard it. Sean Combs set to be released from his 4-year prison sentence even earlier than projected. His sentence shaved for a third time. He will now be freed February 23, 2028, 2 months earlier than before. His sentence has already been reduced before. Right now, he's in New Jersey's FCI Fort Dix, the Federal Correctional Institute. He was originally set to be released in May of 28 after his convictions on 2 counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. Now it's been shaved down again. He had a rocky start behind bars, claims he drank moonshine and made unauthorized phone calls. His lawyer denied it all. Notwithstanding, he keeps getting time shaved off his sentence. I wonder why. What landed him there in Fort Dix FCI Federal Correctional Institute to start with?
After a split verdict where Sean Combs is acquitted of RICO, 2 other counts come into play. Sean Combs convicted on 2 felony counts. There was a massive argument via paper to keep Sean Combs behind bars, the defense fighting tooth and nail to let him out on appeal bond, which means you get out while your conviction is being appealed. Joining me right now, Tisa Tales. You can find her on YouTube at Tisa Tales. Tisa, start at the beginning. Start with the verdict, the split. What happened?
When the jury walked in, everybody was on pins and needles. I'm not going to lie. Everybody in the courtroom expected him to be guilty on at least the sex trafficking. There was a somber tone. They walked in, and when they said, please read, and they said, what do you find ye? On count 1, not guilty. It was a bomb that went off in the courtroom. The public audibly gasped. Nobody was expecting that. There were tears of joy from Diddy's side. Count 2, what say ye? Not guilty. Again, another bombshell went off. People were in utter disbelief. Even Diddy's most ardent supporters did not expect him to get off on the count of sex trafficking with Cassie. Count 3, when they said guilty for transportation of a prostitute, when they said guilty for the mayonnaise, that is when Diddy's team actually cheered. Yeah, that's all right. Okay, come on. Almost like we were watching a pro football game. When the other ones came in after that, there were jaws on the ground. It was unbelievable. People were looking at the jury, searching into how they could get a verdict in this day and age. They heard Cassie's mother, the 20,000. They heard Capricorn Clark. They heard about the savage beatings. And it was unbelievable that the only thing they said was prostitution. And that is because Daniel Phillips, in his testimony, actually said, at least I'm guessing that it's because, that he got paid to have sex for money. It was a travesty. It was an all-out circus. Everybody, including myself, are running to safety.
I've got a question for you, Tisa Tales, and everyone's going to want to know this. You had to leave the courthouse. Why?
I had to leave the courthouse because Diddy's supporters were out of control. The first time I ran and did my live, of course, I had 2 armed security guys. Everyone told me, the people in the courthouse was like, make sure you have security. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. It wasn't just me, but I'll tell you what I experienced. Diddy's supporters surrounding me, threatening me, saying that they were going to hurt me. It was a serious situation. It got so bad, and there was so much chaos and violence. violence that they actually had to lock the courtroom down and force the Diddy supporters across the street. It was something myself, the news media, mainstream media, new media have never seen in their lives. The level, and again, the jurors, I hope to God they know how to sleep at night. Because again, I'm sure they did their duty. But when all that chaos was happening, as I was being threatened and ushered out by armed security people, I thought, this is what the jury did. They sent a signal that it is okay to use violence. It's okay to drug people up. It's okay to live a life of debauchery. It's okay to do whatever you want. Because guess what? If you work hard enough and you have enough money and enough delusional fans and you have ingrained yourself in culture enough that you can do whatever you want, and 12 of your peers will look the other way. Again, this jury was shocking.
Tisa tells, when you say that Sean Combs' supporters threatened you, what were they saying?
They were saying, you B, you effing B, we're going to kill you, you effing B. You work for, apparently I work for the feds. You're a plant. You made this all up because of you. Again, they're not too smart. Because of you, that's how this case got started. We're going to treat you worse than we treated Cassie. Cassie, what we do to you is going to be nothing that they had on Cassie. They were screaming. They were yelling. Some people were saying, apologize to Diddy. Apologize to Diddy. Of course, thank goodness, we had Lenny and we had Jimmy, two of the best arm guards out there. So the one thing is they, and also they started foaming like wild dogs because they realized that I was not an unprotected woman. And they realized they could not just do what they felt like. And they started foaming like wild dogs, screaming, their voices cracking in anger that they viscerally wanted to rip me apart. This is why their hero had been exonerated. Even in the best of times, these people that support him, there's something wrong with it. And I gotta tell you, Nancy, it wasn't just me. It was not just me. It was anybody that didn't have a pro-Diddy stance from the beginning. That's who suffered.
Joining me, an all-star panel, but I want to thank Tisa Tales for what she's doing tonight. You know, Rob Shooter is joining me. Rob, I really don't know where to start. This is a blow. This is a huge blow to crime victims all over the country. Huge blow. The big news is right now, Sean Combs is going to jail, okay? Yeah. He's going to jail. I was actually worried that somehow the judge would contravene the law. And the law is, under the Bail Reform Act, that for these two charges on which he was convicted, he has to go to jail. Yeah. There is no appeal bond, period. But I was so concerned that the judge would somehow find a way to let him walk. And all this time, Shooter, we've been hearing, I've got all these letters here. Here's one from Deontay Nash, in fear, talking about Combs' long, well-documented history of violent, retaliatory behavior. They're afraid, Rob Shooter. Guys, Shooter knows Combs better than any of us. His longtime publicist, no more. But now you can find him at his Substack, robshooter.substack.com, and Naughty But Nice podcast. Shooter, I got to tell you, it was like a kick in the stomach when that split verdict came down.
Yeah, I think everybody was stunned. Before I continue then, Nancy, I just want to send my best to Tisha. What happened to her outside that courthouse is horrific. It's wrong. And I'm afraid these people now have been emboldened. When we heard the judgment, I think we were all shell-shocked. We were all heartbroken. We all felt like we'd been kicked in the stomach. However, as the day has gone on, we do have to remember, Nancy, that he has been found guilty of two very serious charges. If any other celebrity had been charged with those two charges, those alone, and been found guilty, we would be done with them. So the celebration from Team Diddy, the disappointment from people who've been watching this as closely as we have, I think we can take a step back, both sides, and realize that this is not a good day for Diddy. He is now a federal criminal. He's in jail tonight. He's going to remain there. And so at least we can take some solace in that.
You know, Rob Shooter, I've been getting flooded by crime victims, rape victims from all walks of life that are upset. They don't really sound mad yet. They're devastated. They're sad. They can't believe this has happened. I've been already subjected to a lot of attacks, verbal attacks, nothing like what Tisa Tales has been subjected to already. But I give the credit to the prosecutors for going in there, and I truly believe this was a David and Goliath.
Yeah.
And they went in against one of the highest profile personalities in our country, Sean Combs, who many people think that they know and they love him. And for some reason, that blinded them, that drowned out everything that three sex attack victims said. And one had the video. One had the video. I don't get it, Rob Schieder. Give me some insight into how Sean Combs got a split verdict. But yes, you're right. He is going to jail on two felonies. Two felonies. That's a victory that Sean Combs is going to jail.
Yeah, that's a victory. We have to hang on to that, Nancy, because in this moment, in this hour, there's not a lot of hope. Everything seems so bad. We have let down not just the people in this case, but victims around the world. Diddy now will be empowered. This is not the end of the story, Nancy. When he gets out of jail, if he gets out of jail, his behavior will not change because he thinks he has gotten away with it again. If you enable someone, Nancy, they do not change. So mark my words, Nancy, this is not the end of the Diddy story. It's the end of a very, very sad chapter. And I think we've let a lot of people down. And as far as being concerned about safety, I just broke reporting that Cassie has now increased her security. Cassie in New York, her home, now has security increased. And I think a lot of other people, courageous people who came forward, assistants, people that worked with Diddy, came forward and testified. They're very vulnerable and they are very, very scared right now.
Lynn Shaw joining me, founder and director of Lynn's Warriors, dedicated to ending sex trafficking and sex abuse on girls and women. When I learned about the split verdict, I was speechless. I couldn't believe it. But it's happened. So what do you want the prosecutors to do? Go home and hide under the bed? Should they have just never even brought the case? They did it because they believed it. And I still do believe it, Lynn. I believe Cassie Ventura was coerced and beaten into having sex with male sex workers. That's sex trafficking. I believe her.
I believe Cassie. I believe Jane. I believe sex trafficking. This is a sober reflection on everything I've been talking about for about 8 weeks now with this trial, that the public, and I'm gonna say the jurors, okay, do not understand predation, power, what sex trafficking is. And a reminder, again, this case was not just about one man. This case was about all of the victims across the country, the world, whose voices have been silenced because they don't come forward, because the justice system usually picks power, wealth, status over believing their truths. But I want to point out, there is hope. I've spent all day coaching people, talking people, fielding text messages. And I want to say, you know what? These victims that reach out to me, Nancy, they're not even angry. You know what they keep saying? Please, Lynn, please remind everybody we're victims. Please remind everybody we have a voice. Please remind everybody we are here. And that goes back to we have to do in society a better job of educating about sex trafficking, about trauma bonding, trauma, what predation really looks like. This is the most frightening thing to empower this Sean Combs. And I just want to make the commitment that we will work very hard to continue reforming, raising awareness, and working with the justice system.
Straight back out to Tisa Tales, who has made it to a safe location. Tisa Tales, I want to talk about what happened when the split verdict was announced in the courtroom, and then I want to move to the appeal bond hearing. Let's start with the split verdict. Take it from the very beginning.
When you heard count one, not guilty, a bomb went off in the courtroom, not guilty. No one could believe it. Sean Diddy's calm side even looked around as if they hadn't heard correctly. No one thought that the jury would actually go this far. Everybody thought that the delay meant that he was actually guilty. When the second count was read, again, jaws dropped open. Diddy leaned back in relief, raised his hands. The defense team was like, yes, I get it. They literally pulled a magic act, okay? They literally pulled a magic act. His team, his side, started celebrating, started saying, yeah, when we heard the third count, guilty for the prostitution, okay? Everyone on his side was like, that's okay, that's okay. They were clapping almost like they were watching a football game. When they first came out with the verdict, the prosecution was doing what they were doing. They were looking straight. It is their job, I would assume, to look like they always have it under control. By the time they got to the third count, Maureen Comey looked over at the jury in disbelief. Literally, again, she's always very composed, but even for her to finally look over at the jury on some, are you kidding me? And she just kept looking at the jury as they read the counts. Again, I know the jury did their best, but I cannot feel that justice was served. How can you forget the vicious beatings? How can you forget the $20K the mom had to wire in order for two freak-off tapes not to be released? Okay, that's what she thought when she wired it. How can you forget what happened to Bonna being hung over balcony? She might have got the date wrong by a few days, but the point is it happened. How you can forget Deontay Nash and the best friend Carrie, who got a hanger to the head and saw Cassie getting pile driven into the corner of a bed on purpose? How can you forget all that and come back and say, you know what? We don't see anything criminal here. Again, we can argue about the prosecution. Got Diddy on the head. We can argue about the prosecution, what they could have did better. But the fact that the jury chose to overlook all that, it brought me back to what Rob Shooter said weeks ago when I first started joining you, Nasty, that people get starstruck and they want some of that magic. And it makes me wonder, were they starstruck? Were they feeling sorry and trying to protect a legacy for someone that hid their depravity and their evil ways behind it? It makes you wonder.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The Federal Bureau of Prisons declines to provide any details on why Sean Combs' release date has been moved up yet again. They stated, quote, "They do not discuss conditions of confinement for any individual, including release plans." I hope they warn a few people before he walks free. Why? Because Sean Combs has a very bad temper and holds a grudge. Sean Combs faced many serious charges during his trial, including sex trafficking, racketeering. All of those would have landed him behind bars for life, but he was acquitted on those counts. He was placed in custody at Brooklyn's notorious MDC, the Metropolitan Detention Center, but now has been transferred to a federal pen at Fort Dix. His constantly changing release dates have been all tangled up in claims he drank moonshine, a.k.a. Pruno, behind bars, made unauthorized cell phone calls, and more. According to reports behind bars, he was tipping the bottle with fermented Fanta, sugar, and apples, according to sources. That said, that is a far cry from the jet-set life he lived before he was convicted. What happened in court?
Back to Tisa Tills joining us. She had to be escorted by armed guards out of the courthouse and leave the scene after she was mobbed by Diddy fans. Explain to me what was happening outside the courthouse. I understand that once the split verdict was announced, the Diddy followers, the Diddy worshipers, went cray outside the courthouse, actually dousing each other with baby oil and chanting.
They formed a circle. It looked like a mosh pit of depravity. They were spraying baby oil on each other, jumping around, feeling fantastic. One woman in a pair of Calvin Klein briefs and a bra started jumping up and down, wiggling while they sat there spraying baby oil on her, and the crowd was chanting, yay, 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 go, and hyping them up. It was a monstrous ball of depravity. When I say I was sickened, when I say I shook my head, and when I said, these are the peers, these are the jury of the peers, and it makes me wonder, as the jury goes home and they look at the television sets and they see what their decision cost and what was on the line, it makes me wonder, how can they sleep at night? It was absolute pandemonium. In between the jumping up and down with the baby oil, women willingly, baby oil being squirted on them, and everybody laughing and having a time like Christmas had just come with Santa and the 12 perverted elves. What happened after that was even more amazing, because while that was going on, there were little fires everywhere of these bands of, I don't know if they're incels, if they're idiots, what was going on, looking for anybody they had ever saw make anti-Diddy content. And by anti-Diddy, according to them, it is pro-justice. They were going out their ways to make sure that everybody paid. And again, I said, this is what that jury cost us. It let us know. It sent a message. It's okay to be depraved. It's okay to beat women. It's okay to do drugs. It's okay to do whatever you want. And that jury, when they gave their verdict, signaled that. Again, I'm still coming to terms with how the jury got to this. Thank God this man was denied bail. Thank God.
Straight out to Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter on the case from the very beginning. Break down the counts for me, Sid.
Nancy, count one is that racketeering RICO conspiracy. Combs was found not guilty on count one. Count two, three, four, and five are those sex trafficking and transportation to engage in prostitution charges. So there was one count each for Cassie and Jane on both of those charges. So the jury found that Combs was liable for both transportation to engage in prostitution charges and not guilty on sex trafficking for either Jane or Cassie.
Straight out to Philip Dubay joining us, veteran trial lawyer joining us out of the LA jurisdiction. So Dubay, this is the breakdown. Count one, racketeering, not guilty. Count two, sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion, as it relates to Cassie Ventura, you know, the woman that was beaten in that video and dragged back to a freak off her, the one that had to get plastic surgery on her face after Diddy beat her up, that one, that's a not guilty. Count three, transportation to engage in prostitution as it relates to Cassie, guilty. That carries a maximum of 10 years. And that comes, I believe, from the sex worker who came in, Philip, and described Sean Combs wearing a burqa from the chin up and buck naked from the chin down and had him have sex with Cassie on video and directed them. That was across state lines. So guilty on that. Count four, sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion as it relates to Jane, victim two, not guilty. Count five, transportation to engage in prostitution as it relates to Jane, guilty. So we got two guilties, three not guilties, split verdict. So there was great jubilation at first when Diddy followers heard split verdict. They heard the words not guilty on count one and went crazy. What do you think is going to happen now, Philip?
He will be getting prison time. There's no question.
Right. And another thing, Dubay, let's get real. It's really rare in federal and state court that once you're convicted and a jury convicts you on a violent offense, that you get an appeal bond, which means, okay, judge, I know he just got convicted, but could you please let him walk free now until we take this all the way up to the appellate court and get a decision? That rarely works. Agree, disagree.
Oh, I agree 100%. No higher court is going to find that this judge abused his discretion by not letting him out or by not setting a bond.
You know, Robert Crispin joining me, private investigator at Crispin Special Investigations, former homicide and former vice detective. Crispin, here's the deal. If the judge had granted Sean Combs a bond and appeal bond, now remember, once he was arrested, Crispin, he was kept behind bars. He did not have a bond, right? For a reason. Right. He's got money and he squats right over by Teterboro, the private airport near New York. You know, if the judge had given Sean Combs an appeal bond, he'd go straight to Teterboro and take off, probably under an assumed name. When you fly a private plane, you can give a fake ID. It's not the same as going through TSA at Hartsfield International or LaGuardia or JFK. No, where they will frisk you and look in all your bags. It's not like that at a private plane. You kind of just walk on onto your private plane that he has, have a glass of champagne and go, bye-bye, U.S. Hello, Paris. That's what happens, Crispin.
Yeah, actually, earlier, just before we came on, Nancy, I was trying to find out where his G550 was because we know that it was out in L.A., a couple days ago. I was trying to see if they had already got those guys up and running and that plane was coming eastbound, thinking he was going to probably get out and dip out back out to LA or back down here to, you know, Miami, to where his neighbors aren't certainly thrilled about him coming back, but doesn't look like anytime soon he's going to be gracing his presence with these guys. So I was trying to find out where that jet was, but I haven't found out yet. But the verdict is just, it's heartbreaking. And it's a black eye to the victims. It's terrible, horrible for any of these victims that want to come forward or any witness that wants to put their ass on the line, raise their right hand and testify against somebody when a jury is going to find that guy not guilty. That's really bad for these witnesses and victims. They know what's coming now. Look what's happened to our reporter as she was leaving the courthouse. They were attacking her. This guy was found guilty of federal crime.
And I'd like to point out, Rob Shooter, what they were saying to Tisa Tells. Rob, they were saying, we're going to do worse to you than we did to Cassie. Shooter, I mean,
it's heartbreaking.
Diddy has to be condoning this. He has been orchestrating the crowd. He's been orchestrating everything.
Yeah, Nancy, I think looking for Diddy to do the right thing at this moment is unrealistic. This is who he is. The whole world has seen who he is. And unfortunately, there's a large amount of people out there who are just perfectly fine with this. Nobody can pretend anymore that we don't know who Diddy is. We know. We've seen him on tape. That tape will exist forever. We've heard the testimonies. We've heard the accounts. We've heard the details. We've seen them. And yet, some people still support him. There's nothing we can do about that, Nancy. And to think that Diddy is going to stop it, that ain't going to happen. He's going to encourage it. He wants people out there. He wants the violence. He wants people screaming. This, to him, is the party that he always wanted to throw. Shame.
You know, Rob Shooter, everything you're saying can be transposed to him before he was arrested. You know, in every case, I've told you this before off air, I've seen a million homicide scenes. I've been to the morgue. I've seen it all. But there's always a moment in a trial that just twists the knife. It's very disturbing. And in this trial, there were two moments like that for me. And one was in the Hotel Intercontinental video beatdown, where she had already been beaten and she was backing up. And she tried to hold up. She's right-handed. Was holding her mouth, I think, with one hand, the right hand, and holding up her left hand against Sean Combs, like she could fight him off. Okay. And the other moment was when she was getting beaten, and she was down on the floor, and Combs had a liquor glass, held up, ready to throw down at her face. And she said, "Can't you see what's happening?" And nobody did anything. And it's just like in the courtroom. The jury didn't do anything.
They didn't. They didn't, Nancy. It's heartbreaking. People I know who have worked with him, who knew him, many of us are on a text exchange, and they're heartbroken. And a lot of people are really worried, too. I don't want to keep harping on about this, Nancy, but this is a very dangerous man. This is a man who allegedly tried to firebomb the car of somebody that was dating his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend. This is a dangerous, dangerous man. And what that jury has just done has said, it doesn't matter. It's okay. You keep being Puffy. You keep being you, and we will support you. But let me just say, Nancy, we can't just blame the jury here. We've got to blame the person that did it, and that's Diddy. Diddy is responsible for all this. Everything else is a red herring. He's the problem, and he will continue now to be a problem.
Dr. Cheryl Errett, who is a clinical and forensic psychologist, explain the effect this is going to have on not only these victims that we heard on the stand, but other victims everywhere.
Nancy, once there is the threat of violence, that power control tactic shapes everything that happens after that. We have a jury who heard evidence about a tremendous amount of violence, threats of blackmail, videotaped assaults that were maintaining the power and control. And yet they didn't feel that they had enough evidence to be able to find that what was happening there was not consensual. Trafficking has to do with force, fraud, coercion. Consent is anything but. When somebody really scary makes you an offer that you cannot refuse, that is not consent. And what I think people are failing to understand about the way that even the threat of violence shapes behavior is that when someone does not believe that they can survive a threat by actually fighting back, they use fawning. They use appeasing. They use the freeze response. They are trying to placate the person who is scaring them. And this man certainly has no shortage of people who were really, really frightened of him and still are. And I think that these really normal autonomic nervous system survival responses, fawning, appeasing, the freeze response, these are things that need to be understood better by juries, understood better by the public, and even by survivors themselves.
You know, Rob Shooter, would you look one more time at these celebrations going on outside the courthouse after the split verdict was announced? Take a look. Thoughts?
Nancy, I can tell you as somebody who knows Puff, those people standing outside that courthouse have never met him. They've never been to his apartment. They've never been on his private plane. They've never had a text or an email or a phone call with him. I have. He doesn't care about any of those people. All those people who have took their time, their energy to go and support this guy, let me talk to them directly. He does not care about you. If he can treat his girlfriend Cassie the way that we've seen him treat her on video, this is not testimony, this is video. If he can treat someone who he's supposed to love like that, how do you think he can treat you? He doesn't care about you. You're wasting your energy on him. And honestly, my friends, stop. He doesn't care. He's laughing at these people outside that courthouse. He's egging them on, but he doesn't care.
You know, Rob Shooter, you speak with so much conviction and so much feeling, and that tells me that you know something you haven't told me. Why do you believe this? What did you observe to make you say what you just said?
I've observed a really selfish person, Nancy. I've observed a person who doesn't have any shame, who has no sense of pride, who has no sense of decency. He's a really bad man. And through his career, through the media, through his products, he has managed to con us all, to kid us all into believing he is somebody else. Now, I hoped that day was coming to an end. In fact, I could even tell you the day that I thought it was ending. It was today. I'm absolutely punched to my gut, to my stomach, to know that Puffy once again rises, maybe not like a phoenix, but justice does not feel as if it has been served.
Shooter, do you know that people are flooding the courthouse, the judge's chambers, with letters Please don't let him out. We're afraid. From Cassie Ventura's lawyer to Deontay Nash, so many others in fear, just like what you're saying. And we heard earlier how this affects people. They saw what happened to Kid Cudi. They saw what happened to Cassie. And now he's going to walk.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
According to his attorneys, quote, his only focus is becoming the best version of himself and returning to his family. Oh, if that were only true. Can a leopard change his spots? This is what we know about what happened in court.
Everyone was spraying each other with baby oil outside the courthouse and begging and yelling and celebrating. Combs goes back into the courtroom, Sydney, for the hearing. Right? The hearing on, is there going to be an appeal bond? Is Combs going to walk out of the courthouse a free man today? During that hearing, Combs briefly tries to raise his hand to speak after the judge denies his request for release again. The judge seemed to ignore the move and instead asked the U.S. Assistant Attorney Maureen Comey to respond. And she says, quote, he is extremely violent with an extraordinary temper who has shown no remorse and no regret. And it makes me think, Sydney, about that fake apology. I'm going to cue that up and play it for you in just a moment, Sid, where he does all this apologizing after beating Cassie. But according to what we learned in court and sworn testimony, he continued the violence after the apology video. That's what she said. No remorse and no regret at all.
Yeah, that is definitely what the judge and prosecutors are thinking. Comey referenced that violent incident with Jane after Combs knew he was already under investigation. The judge referenced the multiple instances of Combs trying to reach out to potential witnesses, trying to sway their opinions of what they might tell investigators after this investigation began, when Combs was well aware it was underway. Judge Subramanian also referenced Mark Agnifilo's own closing arguments. You full-throatedly told the jury that there was violence, domestic violence, in all of Combs' relationships. Y'all owned that, and it may have helped on some of these charges. It may have helped with the guilty, not guilty verdict, but it is definitely coming back to bite him now.
Straight out to Lynn Shaw. This also happened in the proceedings. This is after Combs tried to raise his hand to address the judge directly during the arguments. And this is after the split verdict, when everybody was celebrating outside. Now comes the appeal bond, where the judge is going to decide, will Combs walk free tonight? Okay? The judge looks over at the defense, and he says, as Sydney just reported, quote, you full-throatedly, I've never even heard anybody use that phrase, but he did. You full-throatedly, in your closing argument, told the jury there was violence, and domestic violence is violence. You said this was a case that did have violence. This is the judge talking to Combs. As to the basic question of violence, you conceded that in your closing argument. Now, throughout this, Combs is furiously passing notes back and forth to Agnifilo, who is trying to stand there and argue and read all of Sean Combs' notes. Wait for it, Lynn Shaw. Agnifilo responds, I just think we should trust him. He's not going to flee. He just deserves a chance. Lynn?
Please, let us all get off this dirty, ditty, degenerate merry-go-round that we're all on. How dare that lawyer? How dare he? He's got a wife. He's got a daughter, I believe. He's got sisters, a mother. Talk like this. Violence is violence. Trust him. We have seen everything to the contrary, including video evidence of Cassie being beaten. How much more do we need? This goes back to, this is one of the worst days here at the Warriors, to have all of this video. to hear the way they're talking about victims. Trust him. Trust him. There's no way anybody should trust him. I'm here in New York City, and Rob Schuder's correct. We've got these dirty ditty disciples running around. People should be in fear of this guy. But that brings me to, how does he get away with all of this for decades? What about the victims that I've been up for 48 hours now counseling, helping, giving out phone numbers, resources? Come stay with me if you don't want to be alone. What a slap in the face today to all of these victims, survivors of any kind of sexual abuse. And you know what? This is the problem with sex trafficking. Nobody, I'm a broken record, nobody understands it. Nobody understands what force, fraud, coercion. Nobody understands coercion. And you know what? It is time we change it up. But this is a travesty. What a slap in everybody's face.
Sean Combs goes to jail, split verdict. Not guilty on RICO, not guilty on two counts of sex trafficking, guilty on two counts of bringing people across state lines to engage in illegal activity, that being prostitution, as it relates to Cassie Ventura, a victim, and Jane, not her real name, a victim. To Robert Crispin joining me, PI, but former beat cop, former special investigator with the Federal Task Force for the U.S. Department of Justice, and on and on. Robert Crispin, have you ever been in a case where the bad guy walks?
Oh, my God, Nancy, this brought back such a memory of a guy who was leaning over the balcony holding 2 kilos of cocaine in a CVS bag, getting ready to drop it on the floor because the feds were knocking on the front door and I was covering the back door, and he dropped it and I got it and I ID'd him and we went to the jury, and the jury found him not guilty when me, as the federal DEA drug agent, watched him drop that bag. And you know why, Nancy? Because juries are so unpredictable. You know why? We didn't pull his DNA off the bag, but I watched him. I watched him drop those kilos of cocaine onto the ground. These juries have a mind of their own.
I know how that must have felt.
Insane.
And the thing is, this is a violent crime. Philip Dubay, from what the judge was saying when Sean Combs raised his hand trying to speak to the judge while Agnifilo was arguing, the judge acted like he didn't even see him. The judge did note the wide divergence between what the state wants as sentencing and what the defense wants as sentencing. But hearing what the judge said, the judge can't just erase from his mind what he saw on the Cassie beatdown video. He cannot erase from his mind what the victim said on the stand.
Combs' lawyers appealed his conviction, demanding a federal appeals court overrule the decision and give him immediate release, calling his former girlfriends, Cassie Ventura and Jane, who went anonymous, on the carpet. He denied all claims, but a jury disagreed. Well, Sean Combs' release date has jumped up. It's even closer. What's next? I hate to think about it. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.